But so far, we have thought about God calling David. You remember Charles talking about God calling David and the fact that God has a purpose for all of us, something that all of us can do. He doesn't look at the outside, he looks at the... There's a very faint whisper there. God doesn't look at the outside, he looks at the... Excellent. So that was the first week. And then 2 weeks ago, 1 week ago, I think Richard was talking about David and the giant. David and Goliath. Yes? Yes? Maybe. Okay. David and Goliath is a story that most people know about David, where he took these stones and he threw one at the giant Goliath that the whole army was terrified of. But all David needed was a tiny stone and trusting God. And when you put those two things together, nothing could stand in their way. So, we looked at David as a very young, insignificant boy being chosen, and the fact that God chooses all of us who feel insignificant. We've looked at the fact that with faith and with trust, David showed that he could do anything with God on his side. And this week, we're coming to a part of the story where David has a good idea. And our reading is from 2 Samuel chapter 7. So David has been leading the people. He's won battles. He's conquered Jerusalem, the city that wasn't his at that point, but he had taken control of it, and he has built himself a palace in the city. And things are looking pretty good for David and his people. Now we come to this passage in 2 Samuel 7. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Now the ark of God, the ark of God was the big box where they kept the tablets that had the Ten Commandments. And all through their history, since the moment God had given them the commandments, the Israelites had carried this box around with them. And they made a tent for it wherever it went. And David's going, "Why have I got a palace and not only a tent?" Nathan, who was a prophet, replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house? I have dwelt in the house from the day I brought Israel out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my own. Wherever I have moved with the Israelites, did I ever say to one any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I've been with you wherever you've gone. I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now, I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel. And I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning, and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed your own flesh and blood, and I will establish you. You will have house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. Wow, that's quite a dream, isn't it? I don't know what you dreamt about last night. I remember what I dreamt about a couple of nights ago, and it wasn't really that interesting, but it did involve chocolate cake and carrot cake. I think maybe my dreams of not listening to God very much, except the feeling of guilt after I've eaten it. David has a palace, he has peace, and after difficult times, he's settled down. And he's got time to draw breath and to think about the bigger picture. Now, I had a brilliant thought this morning, I had two things, but what I should have done was get some of those pictures where it's a very, very close-up picture of something that we use every day, but from a different angle. Do you know what I mean? Have you seen those? It's like a puzzle, where you see this tiny bit of something, and you have to guess what the bigger picture is. So there's one where it's like a very, very point of a pencil, and it's just a little ring with a slightly different coloured ring around the edge. And you think, what on earth is that? And then when you see the whole picture, you think, oh yes, of course, it's a pencil. Anyway, I wasn't organised enough for that. But I think this story is a little bit like one of those puzzles. David thinks that he's got the whole picture. He thinks that he knows what God wants because he's got this peace and he's got a palace. There are a lot of peas in our story this morning. We've got a palace and we've got peace. And so he wants to celebrate God's presence. Not presence as in something that you unwrap, but presence as in God being with him and blessing him. And says, I know what I'll do. I'll protect that presence of God with us. I'm going to keep him where I know he is. I'm going to build a big temple around this Ark of the Covenant. It won't be a tent that can be blown in the wind. It won't be something that people can pick up and move. It'll be a place that God can live forever, so that whenever we want to talk to him, we'll know where he is. And I think that's a great idea. And Nathan, the prophet, said, well, sounds sensible to me. And to start with, he says, go ahead. But then when he goes and sleeps, in the quietness, with a bit of time, Nathan hears God speaking and saying, that is an idea. But that's not what I want now. That's not what I want David to be remembered for. There's nothing wrong with David's desire to serve God, but he needs to step back and see the bigger picture. I don't know, do you ever respond to things too quickly? Do you ever get an email that annoys you and you write straight back and then you think of it later on, I wish I hadn't done that? Or you've got a big decision to make. I'm going to confess this. I got conned this week. I got conned big time by one of those people who turns up on your doorstep. Actually, he was commanding bars and he said, oh, hello. Do you like the Crusoe saucepans? Yes, I like the Crusoe saucepans. He said, well, I've just been to an exhibition and in my rooms, I've got some wonderful saucepans. And I need to get rid of them before I drive back to the continent. Would you like to have a look? And I went, no, I don't need any saucepans. And then he said, would you like some knives? I've got some really good knives. And I thought, I could do with a good knife. So, I went and met these things. Long story short, I ended up buying some actually very few. And tonight, I'm going to tell you how I'm going to break the first 9 years ago. And I was so cross with myself. Because I had thought to step back and take some time. We can make silly decisions when we take a step back and think. Confession over. Don't be like Kate. When someone comes to your door saying, would you like this? And the answer is, no, not really. Stick with your first impression and send them away. The myth of somebody who doesn't leap into things, he stops and thinks and he listens. And he got a bigger sense of God's perspective and the story that he came back to tell David, the wonderful blessing that God wanted to pour on David was so much greater than the joy of building a building. We've built a building, haven't we? In the last few years, we have spent time praying and asking God, and God said, yes, now's the right time to build that building. Now's the time to make a place for your ministry. But that's not the end of the story. God's promise to David is not one of empty step. God says to David, I am going to make your ancestors stay on the throne forever. There will always be a leader in Israel until a time when the kingdom comes again, who will be one of your ancestors. We're going to start looking in the autumn, in a few weeks' time, at the Gospel of Luke. And in the beginning of Luke, when the angel goes to visit Mary, he says this. Well, actually, it tells us that he goes to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of... A descendant of...
David.
Right. So, there's an answer to that promise. And then later, the angel actually says to them, he will be great, talking about Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David. So this promise made by Nathan in the middle of the night in a dream to David was of huge significance, and we see it borne out in Jesus. So the perspective was much greater, much wider, and took some time. And we see that God is not in David's hands. David thinks that he's the one who's going to make something special for God. But God's not in David's hands. David is in God's hands. And God turns the tables and says, I'm going to do something really special for you. You've got a palace, but you are going to be the father of generations and generations of kings. And one day, one of your descendants will be the one who saves the world. You still say it in that bit, but that is important. So I wonder what you think is more important. To be people who are known because of a building they built, or people who give something back to the world, who give back a heritage, who spread a wonderful message. The kings that followed David were there to take care of God's people. And God's people were there to take care of the world and to show the world that everyone can have a relationship with God. Now, we've built a wonderful building. And when you say, oh, I'm from St. Mary's in Reading, people sometimes say, oh, is that the one with the amazing centre over the road? And you can go, yes, it is, actually. Or you can go, yes, it is, and think how we're using it. That's our challenge now, isn't it? We've got a building, but it's not a mausoleum. It's not a place to look at and go, oh, we're going to remember all the effort that went into that. It's a place to be used for God to inhabit, but also to reach out for. And isn't it brilliant that we can reach out to run Reinhardt next month? Those are the things that will have more impact. about the promise. The promises of God are all through the Bible, and they're really important. The promise that really strikes me is the one at the end of Matthew, where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That's sort of what he said to David, "I will be with you and your descendants forever." But Jesus says to us, when you go and follow my commands, when you reach out and you tell people about me, my promise is that I will go with you. In the old version of this, he used to say, "Go and make disciples and learn. I will be with you." And I remember always someone saying, without the go, there is no learn. Unless we go, we're not going to experience God being with us. Do we want to experience God being with us in our lives? Do we want to see him at work? Do we want to be able to think of instances for which we praise him? Well, that's how we will see more of that when we go and follow Jesus' instructions. Sometimes we can be people who tell God our plans and ask him to bless them. That's what David was doing to start with. He's saying, "I'm going to build you a temple, God, and I want you to bless it." And God said, No. Just step back, listen, hear what I want you to do, and then I will bless you. So let's be people who don't come to God first in a hurry, looking for a bargain. Let's be people who come to God and listen and say, "What would you like us to do? How can we serve you? How can we bless you that you can bless the Lord?" Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are with us always to the very end of time. Thank you for Jesus, who fulfilled so many prophecies, who fits into the story that you are beginning to reveal to King David. Thank you that we are part of that story too, and that you call us to use all the good things you've given us to bless the world around us. Please help us to do that this week in the way you choose to live. In Jesus' name, amen.